James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 41 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning and welcome in to the Monday edition of Inside the Locker Room, 205-342-9904. You want to discuss the game? We're right here. You can pour your sorrows out to us right here at 205-342-9904. Download the app, the Tide 100.9 app. You can send us an app message throughout the show. We'll be happy to read that. You want to email us, that's the best way for you. wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. We want to thank Yellowwood. That would be pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. If you want to build a five-star backyard, everybody likes five stars, then go to yellowwood.com to find a dealer closest to you. And if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you certainly don't want it. Good morning, Chase. How are you? You doing good? Good morning, Dad. How are you doing this morning?
Doing okay. Alabama, as they say, dropped about six spots. The coach at Alabama did not fumble. Ryan Williams fumbled. I think probably the defensive line at Oklahoma outplayed the offensive line at Alabama, and it's sometimes easy to do because you're coming on steam and got the pressure on the quarterback, and they made some costly errors, fumbling errors, but Ryan Williams was a big deal. Eight teams playing four games this week. Missouri and Oklahoma is the best game as far as who's going to get in the playoffs, I think. Florida, Tennessee don't mean much crap. So it'd be very hard for South Carolina to get their football team back to playing again after losing a lead the way they did, 30-3 or 28-3, whatever it was. But it was pretty bad. It seemed like, for some reason, we talk more about the coaching jobs than we do about what's happening on the field. Lane Kiffin continues to make his remarks as they beat Florida. I don't know what else to say to you is that Alabama is sitting here now with a must-win over Auburn after they win the next game. And I think they can do that. Whether they'll do it or not, I don't know, but I think they can. By the way, in a free throw shooting contest for Auburn yesterday, they lost to Houston by one. Keith Askins called me, and he'd come in to see the game, wanted to see me, but of course I didn't go to the game, so that's what happened there. So they lost by one point. So we welcome Barry. Welcome your calls. I welcome your calls. You can go through Barry to get me. It's a disappointing loss for Alabama. Oklahoma's no dogs, but I have to remember the Oklahoma quarterback had a hurt finger for some time.
Yeah, broken hand. He had surgery on it. Yeah.
Yeah, got well, and he's a better player now than he was some time ago. So, and Alabama turned the ball over some. Coach did change the coaches, and I knew the coaches couldn't coach. All that crap is ridiculous. So, anyway, you got the coach you got, so you better might accept him. We welcome your calls, and that's what happened. You want to talk about the coaching jobs? I don't know much about them, but Everybody's in a stink about it. They're in a real stink about them at LSU. And Florida, I think, has put their money on Kiffin. Kiffin ain't going. That's about it.
Fans, I get so tickled. You know, they get in the games and Alabama's not playing well, and they get out on social media about these guys making money and they need to be held accountable. Exactly what is held accountable? I mean, you're going to put them in timeout? I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, they can, the coaches can look at the film, they can put them on the bench, but held accountable because you're making money. They're all making money, so I don't, you know, they're up for criticism. Yeah, they are. That's fine, but I don't know what held accountable. It was a bad look. Connor Talty, looking for somebody else to blame. The snap was a little high. The snap was down perfect. I mean, when he misses, oh, my gosh. And the only thing I would say about the end of the game, it looked like we were playing for a field goal. If you're playing for a field goal. So I thought that was a bad look for him. That's not what a team's all about. You don't start blaming one another and especially out there on the field for everybody to see. You want to do something in the locker room and go over and, you know, get on the guy about not being a perfect snap. But I thought that was a bad look. And maybe I'm sure it was a heat of the moment. He's probably feeling a lot of pressure about having to make kicks, and when he missed it, he did what Stephen Pearl did after the game last night. Stephen Pearl's got to grow up a little bit. He snapped. I thought it was a bad look.
I didn't see that. What happened? I'm sorry.
He chased the officials off the court on the last play. He thought he should have been a foul. Two other games they've played, he has kicked the score table. And you know how they have those digital score tables and broken two score tables. And then he chased the official, and he was berating the official. It's just, you can't. I mean, you're a young coach. You're a young
administration will kick him. He won't last long.
You can't act like that. Like, if you've been there and you've won for years, fine. But your first few games, you're kicking score tables and breaking them, and you're chasing. I mean, you shot 20-something.
Spit the door at the three-fold line, 23 of them.
Yeah.
They spit the knife there. Got the head every chance to worry about. You can't make a free throw. You can't make it from that distance shooting by yourself.
And I'm going to be different on this. I think you'll probably agree with me. Lane Kiffin, he'll break your heart. He's got the ball on the 1 yard line, guys, and third down. He runs a double reverse pass. They don't get it. Then he tries to throw it on fourth down. They don't get it. And I'm telling you, on the last drive with Florida, the first play, they call pass interference. They picked the flag up. It was clearly pass interference. Lane Kiffin at the most critical times will call some of the dumbest plays I have ever seen. Yeah, he will break your heart at the most important time of the season. He won the game. He got away with it. A double reverse pass, third down on the 1 yard line. That's stupid.
Well, he's the most wanted coach for a guy that's never done nothing in my life except get Alabama's butt beat because he wanted to show his fanny. He's wanted for this because he's real cute and real funny, and he says funny things and wins some games, and he's got a good offense in mind. I know
sure
that.
He does. He does, but at the most critical time.
He's a local yokel.
At the most critical time, he'll make some of the boneheaded calls. He'll go for it when he shouldn't. He put another quarterback in there and ran a double reverse pass. You got it third and one. If you're going to go for it on third and fourth, just run it two times. You got the best running back in the SEC. So that when I was watching that, I was going, oh, my gosh. If I was trying to pay this guy more than anybody in college football, that would scare me to death. He's done a great job at Ole Miss. I get it.
I'll tell you what, son. You get down to Florida, you got to work in the recruiting. It ain't easy because everybody comes into there. They fly in everywhere in the world down in Florida. You better work. You can't just go play with the mamas a little bit and try to get the kids.
Now, he can develop a quarterback. Anybody can take Blake Sims and do what he did. So I'm not saying he's not a good coach. I'm just saying he makes some boneheaded calls at critical times. We're not protecting Ty. You have no running game and you can't kick. When you do all that, then you're going to lose eventually. It's going to eventually catch up with you. I talked to some people there. I know Kalen DeBoer and those guys were really worried about the defensive line for Oklahoma, and they should have been. And I don't understand this either. I didn't talk about it last week, so it sounds like, why are you bringing this up now, Barry? You're an idiot. But why do you play Oklahoma for homecoming? I think they use that against you, like you're disrespected. Why isn't this week homecoming? Why are you playing Oklahoma for homecoming? I think that helps Venables and those guys get these guys ready to play. So almost like it's disrespect to play. You're supposed to play somebody you're going to beat. Now, maybe they had to do it because of this date. I'm sure there's some logical reason. But why, Chase, why couldn't homecoming have been Eastern Illinois? You get more people to come to the game. I guess maybe they think they won't come. But I don't know. I don't like playing a team like that and it be called homecoming. So that's my two cents. You can call and tell me I'm an idiot for that. 2 minute truck, they're at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. But the professionals handle it. Give them a call today. It's 205-247-5050. 2 minute a truck. Movers who care.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Monday morning. A balloon release was held at Northridge High School Sunday afternoon for 20-year-old James Owens Jr., a Tuscaloosa native who was killed in a two-car crash in Chilton County on November the 10th. Owens was a junior and a defensive lineman at Huntington College in Montgomery. A collision happened on US 82 near Mile.
Where you pick it out and we'll work it out. Select models with approved credit plus tax registration and fees. $16.67 per thousand. Finance for 60 months. See dealer for details. Expires month end.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny today, the high 71. Clear and cool tonight, the low 49. Very mild tomorrow and Wednesday. Good supply of sunshine both days. Highs between 76 and 79 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 43 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best place for your high school football coverage is right here on Tide 100.9 and online on Tide100.9.com.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. JD from Greenfield says, hire Sam Pittman as the offensive line coach. So I guess he's not happy with the offensive line coach. Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. All right, to the Yellowwood hotline. What's up, Philip?
Well, I am drunk with frustration after Saturday.
Bad week is Alabama losing in basketball and then losing in football the week before. You know, you had two huge wins and two big losses this weekend.
Yep. I'll tell you what, Barry. You know, I'm just Joe fan. I don't know anything, but I'll tell you one of the things that I thought I was going to see at the start of the second half Saturday night, and you guys may disagree with me. And good morning, Coach Johnson. But I kind of thought the backfield in the second half would be Kevin Riley and Daniel Hill, and I thought that Miller might not have played in the second half. That's one of the things that I thought I might have seen in my Joe fan mode. And then the other thing I'd like to say is the field goal where Talty hit it to the left. You know, I've seen worse snaps and guys make that kick. What impressed me was, whether it was a penalty or not, I don't really care. But what impressed me was the athletic move that Oklahoma player made to just get over the center and tip that ball. That was a pretty impressive effort that kid put forth right there. I was impressed with that. And then the other thing, as far as the 12 teams into the playoffs, you know, Alabama's flirting with dangerous territory right now, obviously after that loss. What Alabama does need to do, I think, they need to, first of all, they need to get a win against Auburn. Everybody knows that, but they need to go out there and assert themselves and play with confidence. Auburn's going to be a tough environment. We all know that. But South Carolina environment, you know, a couple weeks ago was just as tough as anything Auburn's going to dish out to us.
So, Alabama, that Auburn game, Alabama, you better go ahead and buckle up.
Oh, yeah.
Auburn's got a really good defense. They got dynamic receivers. Mm-hmm. And they're going to win this weekend. In that place, they're going to be able to knock Alabama out of the playoffs. Kalen DeBoer's never been down there. You just right. made that game. Oh, my gosh. That game's yeah. going to be.
Yeah, they're going to be sky high. But I still think Alabama has got to change their mentality. And they got to get over the skittishness that they've sort of exhibited the last 3 weeks and go out there and play with some assertive style and get with the program and get to the line of scrimmage and get going and not make this thing a delayed type game where their crowd can get into it and alter plays, because they certainly will. And yeah, they've got a good defense, but Alabama's got to buckle up. Like you said, they've got to buckle up.
There's a lot of pressure on that game now. You couldn't afford to lose this Oklahoma game. You know, if you win Oklahoma, you're in the playoff.
Yeah.
And now it's if you win in Auburn, you're in the playoff. You lose, you're out. They are looking for any reason in the world to knock you out. They'll play loose, and they got some talent in those receivers, and their defense is good. We're kind of one-dimensional, and their Ty's made mm-hmm. some mistakes now. I mean, that pick six, that's going to be tough, Phillip. It's going to be yeah. real tough.
It is. But I'm just curious, and you guys can take some other calls and talk about this maybe, and how can Kevin Riley, who started a period of time early in the year, how can he go from that status to just the forgotten lad that they're down on? Because that's all it is. That's all it can mean to me, Joe Fan, is that they're down on him about something.
I mean, something's happened in practice. I mean, I'm sure they're playing who they think is the best player. We're not at practice. They have a reason why. And so I don't know it. But anyway, thank you, Phillip.
But if you're running the football, you're not blocking. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you, Phillip.
Thank you.
All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tom?
Morning, Barry. Morning, Coach.
How are you, buddy?
Good morning. I'm good. How are y'all?
We're fine.
You know, the analogy of that's been used several times on this show, you go down two blocks to the red light and turn left. Now, if you go down there to the red light two blocks and turn right, that's on you. That's not on the coach. That's not on the people giving directions. Now, if I tell you all week that football team has a good rush, you have got to get rid of the freaking ball. You cannot stand there like the Statue of Liberty and hold the ball. You've got to get rid of it. Either throw it to somebody or throw it away. Do not hold the freaking ball. Now, I know that conversation took place because Coach Grubb said that he holds a time, stopwatch back there, and he has 3.8 seconds to get rid of it, or they're yelling at him. The offensive line played good. The defense played immaculate. They were great. Oklahoma didn't start on the other side of the 50 to well in the second quarter. It should have been 30 points. But the defense played so well and held them to field goals instead of touchdowns. Ty Simpson has got to get it in his head. You're not going to be able, everything's not going to be perfect for you to throw. Sometimes you got to throw in the tight cover. But whatever you do, throw it quick. Don't hold it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think I think Ty Simpson's an awfully good quarterback myself. Maybe he held on to it too long, but I don't know. I don't know the answer to it, to be honest.
I mean, that is that's an elite defense that you're playing there, Ty.
Very good.
Yeah.
But we had them. The game plan was perfect. The game plan was perfect. He did not execute like he's been doing. And I agree with Coach. Ty's a good quarterback. But we're criticizing the play of a game that was played Saturday and the mistake that was made. The biggest one to me was holding the ball too long. Throw it away. Come back and fight another day.
Answer this, because I went – to the bathroom. I came back when Ryan Williams fumbled. Was he back there filling the punt?
Yeah, he was behind Cole, and the guy caught the punt, a good one, and he outkicked coverage, and Williams had a shot at getting some good yards, but to me he's too frail to be back there. You get somebody to the level of Oklahoma or Auburn, and they come down there, and two or three of those guys are, and you're trying to gain yards, and they start nailing you.
Yeah.
When you're that little and you're not strong, like Cole's strong, and you start nailing on it, he's going to give it up. I don't care what you say.
Well, Kalen DeBoer showed some emotion on that one. I don't blame him. He was ticked off that they fumbled that football right there. And he should have been. I'm not saying he didn't fumble it. Yeah, but you put him out
he
there.
Been out there.
Well, he probably thought that as soon as it happened. Cole, he probably said, why we got him back there? That's one of those things you do it, and then you look at the guy and say, I knew we shouldn't have done that. But, you know, he could break one, too.
The guy kicked the ball too far. I'll say that, and Ryan was right to return it. But I just got my doubts about Ryan and his size compared to these other ones. And look, they were hunting. They're head hunting. Oklahoma was head hunting all night long. But to me, Cole, I wouldn't mess with that. He catches it. If there's something there, he takes advantage of it. He does not get burnt inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah.
And so I like the decision-making process he's made. But to me, I think, I hate to say this, and everybody can call and tell me I'm wrong, I'll take it. But Ryan, Ty cost us that game.
Yeah, he didn't play as good as he could. He did throw for 325 yards. But, yeah.
Venable. You know, he did a masterful job, I thought, on his defense is strong up front, weak on the back. But I thought the masterful job that he did with the defense was disguising the coverage. But still, Ty, he had it there. There were a couple of passes that he missed that he should have thrown through the ball better. But for the most part, to me, it was like, Ty, get rid of the ball.
Yeah, that one blitz where they just came through, that guy didn't even get touched. I mean,
that was bad.
Yeah.
They came right up the middle.
Yeah, give them credit. All right, thank you, Tom.
Well, McElroy pointed this out. Your protection starts in the middle and goes out.
Yeah.
I mean, without saying it, that was a cardinal sin of pass blocking that they missed.
Thank you, Tom. All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. Go ahead, Ricky.
I just got a question. You know, everybody's talking about you got to win Auburn to be able to go to playoffs. Well, yes, you got to beat Auburn, but if you go to the SEC Championship and get beat with three losses, you're not getting it.
Yes, you are.
You think so?
If you get to Atlanta, you're going.
So whether you lose.
Yeah, they're not going to hold. They're not going to penalize you for that loss.
You don't think so? I hope you're right.
Yeah.
I just don't think a three-loss team is going to get in.
Well, if you lost it in the regular season, but if you had to play an extra game and you lost in the playoff, like if Indiana and Ohio State get in the playoff, I mean in the Big Ten finals, they're both getting byes regardless of who wins
that's
it.
That's true, but they've only been, they haven't lost the game yet.
Well, I'm saying they're both going to be in the top four, though. They're not going to fall out of the top four because of a loss. So they're both going to get...
What about if Alabama falls to 8 or 9 and then lose? You don't think they'll fall out to 12?
Not if they beat Auburn. If they beat Auburn, they're in.
Okay, well, I hope so. That's true.
Yeah, so...
Okay, well, right. I just wanted to just bring that up. Hey,
all right, thank you. I'm sorry, Dad.
Would there be any chance at all that we could stop all this and congratulate me on winning another blue flag?
You did. Oh, you did. You won, and Jason lost again. So everything's right in the world. He took Alabama. I texted him Saturday.
Yeah, Maggie Barry in that game, they had it planned. They gave each other skin and all, an old sidekick.
Kirby loved it. And
yeah, he loved it.
Sark is done. They're done. So, anyway, that was a good one. Chase, go ahead and give him a little clap there. He clapped. He's got a 2-game winning streak on the blue plate by Brian Harden Construction. Go ahead. Give me a little clap. Clapping button doesn't work. It's got a little dust on it. We haven't used it much this year. All right, we'll take the break here and get to Max Howell. Thomas Rib Shack, go to thomasribshack.com. Looking for a great lunch Tuesday through Saturday. They'll be open. You can go in there and get some great barbecue, the ribs, the pork. You looking for some fish? They got great fish over there, pork chops, all the sides. The cobbler's all in well. So swing by Thomas Rib Shack. Go to the website, thomasribshack.com. If you need a catered meal, and tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. Max Howell is next. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We found a little bang up on 359 southbound at 2059. That is where you do have a collision sitting on the right shoulder now. I don't see where traffic is extremely heavy. You might tap on the brakes to pass by it. And otherwise, traffic is still moving at posted speed on Lurleen Wallace at the...
Of the Crimson Tide. Sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
Inside the locker room, get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. Pressure treated pine from Great Southern Wood. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Former football coach Ole Miss in Tallahassee. Radio personality throughout the South joins us every Monday. Max Howell. Good morning, Max. A lot of sad people over here in Alabama.
Well, it is. But, hey, today's another day. They got 2 games left. And, you know, Auburn is a must-win for them right now.
Yeah.
They only got 2 losses. I think they'll get in. I think Oklahoma's in the same position. 3's in right now. We know that. Ole Miss, Georgia, Texas A&M. And then we got 2 hanging out there with 2 losses. And they win out, then we'll get 5, you know, 5 teams in.
Yeah, that.
I think that's the way you look at it.
Yeah, that.
Did Ty Simpson hurt himself and not by holding the ball too long, some of our listeners said, or do we need to give the defensive line, the defensive line of Oklahoma a lot of credit for doing what they did, kind of knocking Alabama around?
I think if you broke it down, Coach, you look at it, it was about 50-50. I think Alabama broke down on their offensive front about as many times as Oklahoma beat them. And I think it was two good football teams. Alabama's obviously playing in Tuscaloosa, you know, became very obvious with the situation. But Oklahoma's pretty well coached football team, much better than they've been in the last couple of years. I think you got to give them some credit where they were. They had a good game played.
I reckon.
But you can't, you know, it's something distant in that Alabama staff somewhere. I keep putting my finger. I watch every game and when they play, and I chart them every snap. And they're inconsistent. And that was the thing that I think Alabama fans had gotten very accustomed to. Coach Saban's teams were very consistent. If they had a bad player, he was a bad player every week. And they, you know, they finally betrayed, you know, move him out, bring somebody else in. But the fact is the game is hard to evaluate now with the game compared to what we used to know. Consistency is a big thing, bringing in so many new players. And no excuses there. I mean, that's the system, and you got to learn to adjust to it. And when you don't, you're not going to win the football game. There were some mistakes made. And of course, Simpson, had gotten all the accolades up to now. But if you've noticed, for the last two or three weeks, he hadn't been as quite as sharp as he had. I don't know what's going on the practice field with him during the week. But the fact is, all we can do is measure what happens on Saturday. And he's not been as consistent the last couple of three Saturdays as he was in this past week, was probably his worst ball game.
How much does the lack of run game hurt a quarterback? Yeah. These defense coordinators get paid a lot of money. If they know you can't run the ball, then I think the more tape you get out there and Alabama's weaknesses, probably helping these coordinators in preparation. Of course, Oklahoma has an elite defense. Let's don't kid ourselves, but does a lack of a running game hurt you as a quarterback?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, you got to win and win big, and the closer you get to the playoffs, I think the longer the season, I guess maybe we need to say, I think the more prevalent it becomes. If you don't have a decent running game to offset, eventually what you do, guys, they're going to rush three and drop eight. And you're not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to throw it every snap. You can live that game for a while, but if you don't have a balanced offense with a running game and a passing game against a good football team, you're going to get beat. And we've seen that recently. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know why a team like Alabama with as much talent as they've got, it's something about the way they get some of the players. I don't know what kind of, commitments they give them to them, but we know that they've, particularly the offensive front, they've had some guys that have not performed consistently. They'll have a great block one time, they'll miss two. And all you got to do is, if I can sit home in my TV and pick it up from here, you know good well the coaches see it all during the week. And why they won't make a change, I don't know. I have no clue about that.
What is it about Kirby Smart where his team just gets better and better and better as the years go? Some teams stay the same. Some teams don't get as good. This year, this Georgia team, they weren't playing great early, but each week, man, they just look better. They're peaking at the right time, Max.
It's the way they handle from Sunday through Friday. It's not in the game. What you see on Saturday is the results of the way they practice through the week. And he's, I guarantee you, he picks his practice up. Some days he'll hit two or three drills. Some days it wouldn't hit. Listen, I was in the staff that did the best set in the world, and that was Bobby Bowden. I mean, I remember in big games, he's turned them loose on Thursday afternoon, not even practice. I mean, I could just tell you all kind of stories. And it was all about that he believed in, you don't need to set a pattern of so the kids come to practice, they don't really know what to expect, whether it was going to hand on the ground and beat them in the ground for 30 minutes every day, or come out in shorts and headgear. That inconsistency from the coach to the players really causes excitement, I'll be honest with you, about those kids, because they dread sometimes, particularly if they've lost on the previous day, they dread going to practice the next week, because some coaches will just beat them in the ground and leave it on the practice field. And I think that's what Kirby does. Kirby mixes that thing up. He's got a good staff over there, and I think we see the end results on Saturday is what we do.
Yeah, that.
If Mississippi State beats Ole Miss on Thanksgiving Day or whenever it is, would Ole Miss still go?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, Ole Miss ain't got but one loss.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they'll go with two right now. I think there's three, Ole Miss, Georgia, and Texas A&M are in. Because, I mean, they're not going to get any of those. Well, A&M's got zero, and Georgia and Ole Miss got one. They got two. The question is about Oklahoma and Alabama. Do they get in? And I think if they win, I think they get in. I think Ole Miss, I think the SEC will get five.
Well, while I'm asking that Ole Miss crap, is Kiffin leaving? He ain't leaving.
I don't know, guys. I've been to Oxford twice in the last 2 weeks. I mean, I don't think anybody knows.
But I don't the last think going.
I'll just throw one number out to you, and you answer right. This. $150 million guaranteed. That means if they fire him in 2 years, they still owe him $150 million.
$150 million?
$150 million written contracts for 10 years.
Where?
But it's guaranteed.
Florida or LSU?
No, he's going to Florida.
All right, Max. Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin. I want to tell you this, though. He's a good coach, all right? But he does some of the dumbest things at the most critical times. They got the ball on the 1 yard line, Max. It's third down, and he runs a double reverse pass. They don't get it. And then he throws it again on fourth down. They don't get it. They got it on the one. Just run it two times right up the freaking middle. He could have cost them the game. And then Florida, on that last possession, it was pass interference, and the dumb official picked the flag up. Lane Kiffin makes stupid decisions at critical times that cost his team every year. He got lucky Saturday that didn't cost him again. I don't know about Lane Kiffin. He wins, but he threw the ball against Ohio State here when Alabama was trying to win the national championship, cost him a national championship. He does dumb things at critical times, Max, in my opinion. Do you agree?
Well, I was waiting till the Ravens over. I mean, look, there's a reason. There's people out there offering millions of dollars to get him to leave Ole Miss. Regardless of his decisions, one by one, you look at the big picture. I mean, he's done something that ain't nobody done at Ole Miss in 60 years.
True.
And I think that's why he's drawing all the rave. And I thought this time last week probably he'd stay at Ole Miss for another 2 or 3 years. I mean, right now he's going to get 2 or 3 NFL offers probably by Christmas. And now he's going to have to make some real decisions. If that's where the guys I'm talking to, that's his ultimate goal is get to the NFL as a head football coach. So I don't know. I mean, I think, it's a crapshoot right now. But there's a reason, even with some of those decisions he makes, trying to, outthink somebody else, he's one of the most prolific coaches in the marketplace right now. And he's going to get paid handsomely for it.
Yeah, Dab.
It's tough. But a lot of it's just personality. He don't beat nobody. Crap, he ain't beat nobody. How hard is it for Alabama to beat Auburn?
Hard.
I'm going to tell you. Yeah, I think it is. I think under the circumstances right now, Alabama have to play their best football game because Auburn ain't got anything to lose.
Mm-mm.
I mean, they don't even have a head coach right now. Confusion within the program. But if Alabama can't on that, they got to go down and play their best football game to get in. I don't have any reason to think they won't. But just because they got beat this past week, that's one to me. What happens from Monday to Friday is the most important part of coaching at that level. Those kids, you got so many different personalities. This even worse now than it was 20 years ago because you got so many new kids coming into the program every year. And then get them back against the wall and, been told how great they are. And all of a sudden, they lose a couple during the year. And they got one critical game to get to the playoffs. I think, it's going to be this game coming up. Not this week, but next week, it's going to be extremely critical for them. And I think we'll find out a lot about the coaching staff and the players themselves. If they show up to play, they'll win the ball game hands down.
You think? I don't know, man. Auburn's got a good defense. They got some receivers that are big time. That game's going to be down there. It's Kalen DeBoer's first time ever down there. The pressure on that game went way up at losing to Oklahoma. I mean, I know Alabama's going to go in there ready, but wow. Hey, Max, go ahead.
It's going to depend on, you know, how Alabama gets ready. You know, that game will be lost or won between Monday and Friday. Saturday is just the end result. But the technical part of the game plan they put together, if they've done a decent job and look at the tendencies, remember, you got a defensive coordinator running the program over there. And the offense did better. Somebody asked me last week, well, what changed about Auburn, you know, with the defensive coordinator? Well, the defensive coordinator became an offensive coordinator because they scored more points than they scored all year long. So I think it depends not so much what Auburn does, but what Alabama does in preparation for that ball game. If that coaching staff doesn't realize right now it's the most important game they've ever had, if they don't work hard to get ready for that, then they go cruising in just on what they've done, you know, on paper, yeah, they've got a chance to get beat. But I think Alabama, because of who they are, what the tradition of that is, I think Alabama should come away with at least a 2-touchdown win.
Wow. Could the SEC get 6 in, Max?
I think that's really quick.
All right, let me I'm going to give you a scenario then. A&M's in. Okay. Georgia's in. Right. Ole Miss is in. If Alabama beats Auburn, they're in. Right. If Oklahoma beats Missouri and LSU, they are in. Right. Vanderbilt. If Vanderbilt beats Kentucky and Tennessee, they're 10-2. Why are they not in?
Well, I don't know. that's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. I think Tennessee's going to probably give the best game because Heupel's going to throw it, you know, 30.
But I'm saying if they get to 10-2, are they in?
I don't know. There's no track record on that. And I know other than what you can see right now, and I believe when it comes down to taking, well, if 10-2, if they take an Alabama with 10-2, I think they'll have to probably take everything.
You taking Oklahoma at 10-2?
Yeah, I think it could very well be. But I really think when it comes down to it, that they probably would not. I don't know. I'm trying to put myself on that committee. If you have to look across the board and say everybody's 10-2's in,
you take Alabama, you got to take Oklahoma.
Yeah, but I'm saying Vanderbilt's 10-2.
Well, Vanderbilt, like I say, the only thing Vanderbilt doesn't have that they have this year that they hadn't had is that long tradition, you know, of being competitive. Now, again, if they go strength of schedule, if they go everything they say, the SEC will get 6.
Yeah.
But what does that do to other teams in other conferences? The thing that committee does not want to do is, you know, be accused of favoritism or trying to get certain, they got to be consistent across the board. In my opinion, sometimes in the past, in this election, they have not been that consistent. They put some teams in there that everybody knew that was going to get beat the first round, and they did. I just wonder how much of that will transpose over. But this is a different Vanderbilt team. I think everybody that's watched them play knows that. But now, does that go over to the selection committee if they're 10-2?
Yeah, I think if Alabama had a caller, if you make it to Atlanta, then you're in. If Alabama were to get to Atlanta and lose, that's not going to knock them out because they got 3 losses. I don't think that extra game is going to factor in
right there.
So you beat Auburn, you're in. You lose, you're out.
Yep.
And so we'll be interested to see. They'll release the game times today as to what time that game will be. Will it be 2:30 or will it be at night? I don't know.
See, I think if Oklahoma should lose and Vanderbilt went out, I think that might be the way Vanderbilt get in, but they still just have 5. I think there's some numbers in there that, you know, going to have to be evaluated. And the strength of schedule, I think you've got to go back and use that. Of course, in the Southeastern Conference, you know, they'll have to look at that as the strongest conference in the country week in and week out. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a however, Barrett, listen, it'll be, it's going to be conflicts and disappointment regardless of how many get in and who don't get in. And this is the first year we're 12. So, you know, they'll have some, I won't say excuses, but reasoning for choosing how they chose it. And if it doesn't work out this year, you know, they'll promise they're either going to raise it the next year to 16 games. I don't know how quick they're going to go to that. They may just go to 14 first and then 16 teams in. So I think there's a lot of questions with that. Some way in my back of my mind, the schedule's going to work itself out this first year. I do believe that.
Yeah, probably will. But Alabama, you know, you would love to get 5 through 8. You get a home game. That'd be pretty neat. Absolutely. To have a playoff home game here in Tuscaloosa. I know the hotels and restaurants are hoping that happens.
You know they are.
Yeah. Who's LSU going to hire, Max?
Gee, I don't know. I think there's so many politics involved down there. It evidently always has been. But the history of that, I don't know. I'm like, who's going to hire them, first of all? I mean, are they going to let the newly appointed athletic director, they going to give him that responsibility? I doubt it. How much of the governor's office has been involved during this transition? Are they going to step up and have a say-so? I don't know. If I was a football coach, I don't even think there's enough money to bring me down there, because I believe it'd be short-term regardless, no matter what the contract says. And, of course, they got to settle out with Kelly first, or they feel like they do or no. we talk about it every week, guys, the game's changing. In every position, in every level right now, it's changing right before our eyes. It's who's making decisions. And I really think, in all fairness, at Auburn and Florida, you still got questions about who's the new coach answer to. That's the thing. I know what Lane Kiffin does at Ole Miss. He didn't ask but one guy. He didn't have to speak to alumni group. He writes his own ticket. If they got enough money to get him up another pay raise, I do know that. But when you start throwing around, generational wealth, that's what they do. They got a couple guys in there that pulled it up and ready to write the check. And, it's a lot of things, that's changed is all I know. And it's not like it used to be. Those guys that are in it today have got to recognize that if they've been in it very long. I still say the new young coaches coming along will adjust with the system as it is. But when you get to that level and people coughing up that kind of money, somebody in addition to a staff member is going to have a say so in it.
What do you hear at Auburn?
Some are all the name I've heard. Yeah, that's. But you know what, guys? I watched him in that Memphis game. And he won the ball game, but he went in that fourth quarter 30 points up and won it by 6. And he's supposed to be a defensive guy. And I've been doing Joe since he was a coach at Troy. And he's not one of those guys on the sideline that seemed to be, as I watched him, he seems aloof for some reason. He may already have his program worked out. I'm not going to be critical of him that way. They won the football game, but he's done a good job. Well, it may not. Yeah, I don't know. It may not. But then who's in line after that?
Would y'all agree the Auburn people don't like Alabama? Huh?
Well,
if they could knock Alabama out of the playoff,
Tracy.
If you were a big time Auburn booster, would you call DJ Durkin in and say, DJ, I want you to put everything you got into this game. Don't have your eyes on other jobs. I'll give you $100,000 if you win this game. Bonus. I want to win this game. Would you do that?
Probably. I probably would.
I'll give you $100,000. Get this staff ready to coach this game. Get these players ready. Do whatever you got to do. Don't be talking to other people about John. Focus in on this game. You win this game Saturday, Monday, there'll be $100,000 in your account.
Well, it may have to start with that. But guys, what I tell you, in a game like this game's going to be won between Monday and Friday. It'll be one Saturday. It's a preparation they do to get.
Well, that'll help his preparation if he knows he's gonna get $100,000.
Well, he's just one guy. You got 10 others out there on the sideline that calling different aspects of the game. He's not gonna call every snap and every defensive line.
Say, I'll do it for 200. I ain't gonna do it for 100.
Yeah, you give me 200, I'll give the other 100 to my staff.
Well, that may be there. Yeah. That's called negotiation. To get it up there. So, guys, what goes behind the screen, nobody really knows all the details except the guys involved. But I'll say, whatever enticements everybody has to have, whether it be players and coaches, and that's going to start from Sunday afternoon to Friday. And then when
Bobby Bowden take a nap. He just eat fried chicken out of his lunch pail. He wasn't even worried about it.
Now, you make a lot of sense, though, Max, about changing things up. You do the same thing all the time. Your team gets bored. But when they don't really know what's coming, and they think they're going to have a hard practice, and they go in there and you play baseball, wiffle ball, or you give them a day off. Yeah. Those things are good. That's good stuff.
Yeah,
so
they are. I'm just telling you that worked for him. There's two things that worked for him. That would and I was on that staff on the field. I was on that staff for 2 years. He never came to a defensive meeting ever. Dickie Andrews called that staff on the defensive side. Called every. And I went in with Mickey several times. Mickey lay the game plan down, and Coach Bowden looked up and said, "Can we win with this?" So he said, "Coach, we worked on it for him." He said, "I can." He said, "Go to practice with it. Let's go."
Yeah.
So we're coming to everybody.
All right, Max, what's for supper?
Oh, man, we cooked this past weekend. We had ham steaks, and I took two big shoulder hams and wrapped them in tinfoil and baked them in the oven first. Pulled them out, and I coated I make a base out of mustard and honey. A lot of people had never thought about that combination. But take a brush and mustard, throw it on the grill for about an hour, hour and a half, and get a crust on top of it, and cut that thing off in 1-inch segments. I just call it ham steaks is what we had on the meat. And it's absolutely delicious. Devil eggs, butter beans, corn on the cob, cornbread, and a big old banana pudding for dessert this week.
Nice. All right, we'll talk to you. Not a lot of great games this week, but we'll talk to you about it all next week.
I'll be right here. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Max. All right, well, thank Yellowwood pressure-treated pie from Gray. I hadn't looked at Doug's picks. Yeah, he did either. I'll have to check those out during the break. We come back. Phone lines are open, 205-342-9904. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We are definitely beefing up now inside of your prime time on 43 southbound at McFarland. And now that's got a long line of red lights that's going to take you back to Smithfield Boulevard. And we're also pretty tight in Northport right now, traveling on 69 southbound at Union Chapel Road, and pretty much the usual on 2059. It's still pretty wide open from 359 to Joe Malisham. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, Tammy Thomas.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Philadelphia Eagles are now 8-2 after beating Detroit Sunday night, 16-9. Jalen Hurts with a 1-yard TD run just before halftime. Denver won its 8th straight game, edging Kansas City 22-19 on a field goal on the final play. Will Lutz went 5-for-5 on field goals. The Rams won their 5th straight game, 21-19 over Seattle. 2 more touchdown passes for Matthew Stafford. San Francisco got 3 TD passes from their starter back in the lineup, Brock Purdy, 41-19. 21-22. Niners won at Arizona. Baltimore, winner at Cleveland, 23-16. Tight end Mark Andrews with the game-winning touchdown run. Elsewhere, on the final play, the Bears kicked a 48-yard field goal to win at Minnesota. Houston, on the final play, kicked a field goal to win at 10.
From the game, the Tide postgame show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny today, the high 71. Clear and cool tonight, the low 49. Very mild tomorrow and Wednesday. A good supply of sunshine both days. Highs between 76 and 79 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 43 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room, Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to the great website, TuscaloosaToyota.com. Look at that 2026 Toyota Tundra. 2.99% APR for the first 72 months. We talked about the holidays. You got a holiday, $1,000 holiday bonus cash they can give you there. Also, the Tacomas, they got great deals on that same situation. There's a swing by Skyland Boulevard. If you're looking for a new vehicle, find Justin. Tell him that Wimp and Barry sent you. I get to the Yellowwood Hotline. Get Tony in. Good morning, Tony.
Morning. Y'all all right?
Yes, sir. How are you, Tony?
Yeah. I'm doing okay. Going to the game, I think everything that has been said is probably needed to be said. It just, at the end of the day, it comes down to the pick six. We lived through all the other turnovers. They scored the only offensive touchdown after the bobbled punt, you know. But, you know, just you can't turn the ball over that many times. Guys, there's a stat in football, and it's a lot of people don't know it. It's overwhelming, and I've charted it. But if you throw a pick six, now there are obviously exceptions to the rule. But if you throw a pick six early in a game, there is a 91% chance you lose that game, no matter who you're playing. And we threw it, I think, on the first or second possession, and that's a backbreaker, man. I mean, you can't do it.
Yeah.
I remember we were beating Tennessee one time 36-0, and I think Tua came in the game and threw a pick six. I think it was a 99-yard return. That's the exception. When you're up on teams that big, you know, that kind of is a whitewash. But you just can't throw pick sixes. You can't give teams – guys, we didn't lay a finger on him once we threw the interception. I mean, they just had a convoy, and you know, that's a 14-point swing. And you can't do that. It's hard to get overcome, and it's just, that's why that statistic is that high and that powerful. But I think that Ty has regressed because the running game is not there, and you can't run it, and you can't really throw it deep accurately. And I don't know if we're not getting separation or anything like that. But what I have seen is I think he's seeing ghosts a little bit, and he's holding on to the ball not to make a mistake. And, now I believe this other stat's correct. He now has as many fumbles as Jalen Milroe had. And Milroe took a beating for it. And so you just got to hold on and protect the ball. That's the number one thing. You cannot drop the ball in the pocket. And you got to step up into the pocket when the pocket's clean. And, guys, when you have a receiver wide open in the middle of the field and Jeremy Bernard, and you throw that ball 18 yards above his head and you have a clean pocket, that's – I don't know what causes that, but that has happened at least once a game since Missouri. And that's kind of where you saw the in my opinion, the regression of the offense a little bit is after that game. I mean, yeah, we played better defenses, but guys, I know Barry, and you've said it several times, Oklahoma, I don't think they're an elite defense. I think they're a good defense. I think they're above average and even great, but I don't think they're elite. You allowed Tennessee to put 500 yards of offense on you. You allowed Alabama to put 409, and, you know, I don't consider that to be elite defense. We made mistakes just like Tennessee did. Tennessee gave them that ball game, and we did the exact same thing. And you just cannot do those things. You cannot give teams – you can't let them hang around. If you get up on that team 14 points, 17 points, it changes everything they do offensively, and they start to reach a little bit. But I've never seen the time of possession lopsided, the offensive numbers lopsided. But when you have that number three and you know, you're giving the ball away, that will get you beat against below average football teams. And in my opinion, Oklahoma is an average to an above average football team. I don't think they're great. I think that if Alabama don't turn it over, we probably beat them 14 points. But, you know, now look, the fumbles, those were forced. Those are forced turnovers. Oklahoma had something to do with that. You missing a kick, I think, from the 18-yard line, that's not forced. Oklahoma didn't force that. That's just you having unforced errors. And I've said this before on this radio show. Coach, you could be a one seed in tennis, and I could be a 14, and you could double fault, you know, hit the ball in the net, hit the ball out, and I beat you. That don't mean I'm better than you. You beat yourself. And I think that Alabama had a lot to do with that. They, you know, it's uncharacteristic. I think Oklahoma was 111th in the country in forcing turnovers. And we were plus, minus 10. So, I mean, plus 10. We had given the ball away, I think, three times, and we had taken away 10 or 13. I don't think the coaches saw that coming either. But give Oklahoma credit. They saw something, guys, for the way they were punching at that football. And guys, there's a couple of times we fumbled the ball and got back on it in that game. So they saw something, and it was good coaching on their part. And they had 2 weeks to prepare, and they treated this game like it was a must win, and it was. And they came here and beat us. But, you know, I don't think it's – what I'm trying to say is it ain't 75% Oklahoma that did it, in my opinion.
Tony, on that last drive, are we – just playing to run the clock out, kick a field goal to win the game?
Barry, that's exactly what I think he was doing. And I don't understand that at all.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
You know, now look, everybody talks about, well, Alabama got their run game. No, we didn't. Oklahoma was playing what you call umbrella coverage. So they dropped all their defensive backs back at the snap of the ball. It didn't look like they did pre-snap, but they did. They were daring Alabama to run the game. Run the ball, because in my opinion, they thought, well, hey, we'll give up these little 8 or 9 yard runs and give them first downs because that clock's going to keep churning. And we're down to one timeout, I think two at the time. So they did exactly what they thought they would do. And when you had that stack, when he got stacked on that, I think it was second down, and we lost, like, I think it was ended up being second and 18 or whatever it was. That was it, guys. I mean, that, you know. And I don't understand the pass route, the concept to end the game. When you know as a team that's trying to elongate the clock, you work the perimeter of the field. We had a timeout. That ball should have gone in the middle somewhere. And because they were guarding us to the outside, because the only way we can stop the clock without running timeouts is getting out of bounds.
Yeah.
And so I don't. But, yes, Barry, you're right. They gave us the run, and I think Ty switched to the run because he called it from the line because that's what they were giving us, and we took it, and we were getting 5 or 6 yards a pop or whatever. But, you know, it just wasn't enough. You got to be in a little bit more of a hurry up. But there were some things that we did, too, that I didn't understand. You know, when you have a team that's struggling blocking their ends, we rerun a double stack on the side, on the right side. We run stack formation, kind of like Tennessee does. We spread the field wide, and there's nobody left inside to help block the end. And they just smash time, just smashing. And you know, but guys, we saw this coming. A lot of Alabama fans out there listening, when if you go back even to the Tennessee game, the Georgia game, Missouri game, Ty had thrown some interceptions that were dropped. I mean, they were hitting these guys right in the hands. One in particular, I think it was the first offensive possession against Missouri. That guy catches that ball, he's gone. I mean, so the signs have been there. The difference is Oklahoma, turned them over.
Yeah.
Didn't drop the interceptions. And Alabama had their hands on a couple, too. We just dropped them.
Yeah.
You know, that's,
well, that put a lot of pressure on that game down at Auburn, I can tell you that for sure. So, anyway.
Oh, it's very huge. All right, y'all have a good one.
Thank you, Tony. All right, we'll get to break here. We'll get Doug Bell in. Chase, see if you can dig up Doug's picks. I can't find Doug's picks. All right, you listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We're still looking at heavy traffic moving on into town. If you're traveling in Northport on that southbound lane of 69, moving on to Union Chapel Road, of course. And then we have also got some heavy stack ups on Lurleen Wallace starting to really slow down a bit more on the southbound lane to University Boulevard. So that
with all of your CPAP needs, including the new Luna Travel CPAP, call 339-8013. Or stop by MedSouth in the Northbrook Plaza on McFarland Boulevard.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's daily update on Bama sports and it's brought to you by Guthrie's, America's original chicken finger restaurant and a proud partner of the Crimson Tide. Visit online at GuthriesChicken.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. Here are thoughts from Alabama football head coach Kalen DeBoer following Alabama's two-point loss to Oklahoma on Saturday.
Really disappointed in the outcome and, that we played a lot of great snaps out there, but, the turnover battle obviously got killed there, and that became the game. And, we've done a great job of taking care of it. We've done a good job of taking it off of teams. And, I think probably 17 points coming off of turnovers and the short field at the beginning where they got a field goal on the punt return. So, we missed our opportunities for sure, and that's what hurt so much. I have no doubt about how to respond, but, the guys are disappointed and frustrated about how this ended up here because that's the moment we're in. So
I'll have more in a moment.
This year, we honor the most important anniversary ever, an event that reshaped civilization as we know it, a day that would lead to something so flawless that nothing could ever really compare. People have tried to match it, but have failed. This year, we celebrate the 60th anniversary of Guthrie's, the home of the original chicken finger.
Just talking about it gets me all choked up.
And hungry for a chicken finger. Guthrie's, an original obsession for 60 years.
Join us tonight for Crimson Tide Rewind, live from Baumhauer's Victory Grill in Vestavia Hills at 6 p.m. You can listen to Crimson Tide Rewind across our full radio network, Varsity Network app, as well as catch a video replay on Tuesday on the CTSN YouTube page. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Guthrie's. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny today, the high 71. Clear and cool tonight, the low 49. Very mild tomorrow and Wednesday. Good supply of sunshine both days. Highs between 76 and 79 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 48 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room, right here on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room, right to the Yellowwood Hotline. He's with PGA Tour Radio, PGA Tour Live, CBS Sports Headquarters. Joins us every Monday, the one, the only, Douglas Bell. Good morning, Doug. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing?
We're good. What's wrong with JT?
I'm a champion, Doug.
Coach, congratulations.
in a row, Doug.
You deserve all the accolades, Coach.
Yeah, two in a row.
I don't want
to. We'll get to your picks later, Doug.
Yeah, my picks were great. But golf, guys, yeah, Justin Thomas last week went through the the back surgery, similar to what Tiger had several years ago, and he's out indefinitely. And so he won't be playing the beginning of the season. And as he said, listen, he's a little guy. He's hit a million golf balls over his time, and it just has taken its toll on his spinal cord. So he had that microfracture surgery back there. So we'll just see what happens. That's never a good thing when a golfer has back surgery, but hopefully he went to the same surgeon that Tiger went to up in New York. And so JT is back in South Florida rehabilitating. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully, maybe I'm sure he would like to get back for the Masters in April. And we'll see if he has any tune-up tournaments before that. But that was the big news as far as our local guys. The tournament yesterday in Bermuda, there's one tournament left, the RSM at Sea Island. But Adam Shank, who has one of those crazy names for a golfer, he won for the very first time his 243rd start on the PGA Tour. And, guys, he came into the week putting one-handed. His putting was so bad, he putted with just the right hand on the putter. But the winds got up to 40 miles an hour, so he had to actually put his other hand on there. And, boy, he looked shaky, but he hit about a four-and-a-half footer on the 18th hole to win. So good for him. And Stuart Sink, Coach, and Barry, our friend from Florence, he wins the last event of the year on PGA Tour Champions, the Charles Schwab Cup. And so he not only wins the tournament, which was worth $500,000, but he wins the Charles Schwab Cup, the point system, and so he gets a $1 million bonus. So Stuart Sink, fourth player ever, to win both the tournament and the Charles Schwab points race. So good for him. Big season for Stuart and his family on PGA Tour Champions.
He played Florence Country Club all the time.
Yeah, and the thing about Stuart Sink, he's 51 years old now, and he's the longest hitter on PGA Tour Champions, and so he has a built-in advantage than a lot of the. I mean, he hits it 30, 40 yards past some of those guys. He was one. He held his own on the PGA Tour up until last year when he went full-time on Champions. So good for Stuart Sink. Oh, and we should mention Trey Mullinax has one tournament left on his major medical. That's this week at the RSM Classic Sea Island Resort. That's where they played the Southeastern Conference Golf Championship for many, many years. Trey knows the golf course, and he needs to either win or get a top or runner-up finish to earn his playing card for next year. If not, I'm not sure what Trey's going to be doing. Maybe going through the Corn Ferry Tour again, which a lot of guys like him who've been in the tour for a long time and have he won in the PGA Tour. You hate to go that route, but I think that's what he may end up doing. So, root for Trey Mullinax this week.
What about Nick?
Well, Nick will play. I think Nick's going to play this week. He has his card because of his two wins last year.
We have a listener wanting me to ask you, why is Nick not playing? He is playing this week? Maybe he meant last week why he didn't play.
Yeah, well, he was in Mexico, and a lot of those guys didn't want to go from Mexico, Cabo, all the way to Bermuda. That's like a two-day venture. And so that's why Nick laid off, even though he's played. But I thought he was playing the RSM. I'll double-check that. I'd be surprised if he wasn't, simply because he knows the golf course, and it's the last tournament of the year. He's not going to be playing again until the Sony in Honolulu. That is if he decides to play in that, or he may decide to play in the American Express, which is middle of January. So if he doesn't play this week, no competitive golf for Nick Dunlap for 6 weeks. And I don't know. If I were an advisor for him, I would say, let's play one more. Let's play this out in a golf course that you like. We played great in Mexico. Let's have another positive week, and then let's head into 2026 with a whole new attitude. That's what I would do, but we'll double check on that. I thought he was in the field, guys.
Is the RSM Classic, is that played on two golf courses, Doug?
It is. Yeah, the Plantation course and then the Seaside course. Davis Love III and his brother, Mark, that's their tournament, and they've run it now for probably a dozen years. And it's really a good tournament. 5 years ago, they opened it up to both courses. That way they can get 144 players through in 2 days. You know, it gets dark kind of quick now. And so when you play two courses, you can get 144 guys through. And it's and the weather looks great. Last year I was over there and it was freezing cold. I mean, my goodness. But so far it looks like the temperatures will be in the 60s, creeping up in the mid-70s. So, and sunny all week. So that's the good news.
Are you going, Doug? Are you going?
No, I ended at Bermuda. So that's my last tournament for 2026. I'm not going. So I won't be back out, guys, until, gosh, until 2026. Jeez, I'll be out with you guys. You know, no excuses now. I'll be out with you guys. Making all my picks,
give you more time to study your picks.
Yes, and I do need a little more time to study those picks.
Well, speaking of picks.
Yeah.
You were one game above 500, I think, going into the week. You said this is a layup. Take North Texas minus 17.5. UAB's awful. How many people did they have at that game?
Not many. Very embarrassing. I saw a picture. Somebody sent out a picture on X, and it was virtually empty. I mean, I would say if there were 2,000 people there, that might be a lot.
Yeah. Well, you said take North Texas minus the 17.5. Chase, give him a clap. He won that one.
Yes.
USC, you're believing in USC. They were taking on Iowa. You said take USC minus a 6.5. The score was 26-21.
Killer.
Close.
Killer.
That would be a loss, Chase.
Yeah, I know. Killer.
And then you said Georgia Tech. You were believing in Georgia Tech. Old BC, they're 1-9. BC should have won this game. Georgia Tech eked it out at the bitter end, but when you need 16.5, you don't need them winning it at the end. Georgia Tech 36, BC 24 for another loss.
Yeah.
BC's the winner.
BC. So now that record, Doug, 19-20. Is that good?
Well, could be worse. Could be worse.
Yeah. You could be 0-39.
Well, if I go
3-0
this week,
you need to call me. I'll try to help you.
All right, I will.
Doug, it's not a. What were your thoughts on Bama? You can't turn the ball over. You can't throw a pick six. You can't fumble a punt against a good team like that.
All of the above. You know, again, two thoughts. The Ryan Williams fumble was a terrible turnover, but so was Ty Simpson's pick six. And I think Ty Simpson's had a really good season. There's no question. But Brett Venables, he'll throw things at you, pressure you, that you haven't seen all year. And that was a pass that shouldn't have been thrown, and he was confused. And so those are two big – you know, when you outgain somebody, what was it, 5-10 to 245, something like that, it's amazing you lose a game like that. But they did, and so now they control their own destiny. You have to win at Auburn. To get in the SEC championship. And then you hope, you know, let's just say you beat Auburn, you get into the SEC championship, and then let's say you get beat by Texas A&M. Will a three-loss SEC runner-up get into the CFP? We'll have to wait and see. But Alabama, again, controls their own destiny. You beat Auburn, you beat Texas A&M, assuming they're in the SEC championship.
You beat Auburn, you're in, Doug. Even if you lose in Atlanta, you're in.
In the CFP, okay.
Yeah, you're in. If you beat them.
Okay, yeah. And you know, Auburn, we'll see what happens. You know, some of these teams with interim coaches, sometimes they respond. Sometimes what we're seeing with Florida is a team that gets out early, but they kind of give up points late. And they had bickering in the locker room after that Ole Miss loss, the fourth quarter comeback by the Rebels. And the interim coach, Billy Gonzalez, had to step in. Players were, you know, face-to-face yelling at each other. So
I think that's a good sign. That means they care.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, the offensive line was upset at the quarterback for throwing the interception, and they were yelling at each other. And there was a lot of hurt feelings in that Gator locker room. So we'll see. You know, they host Tennessee this week. And that was one of the games I was going to pick. But, man, that's a dangerous game. Tennessee, Florida. Tennessee 3.5 over Florida.
Did you like Alabama's kicker yelling at the snapper?
No, I didn't.
I didn't either. The hole was fine. I mean, that was no reason. That didn't cause him to miss that field goal. All right. The guy got that hole down perfect. I guess they blocked it. I don't know. But
got his hand on it, yeah. The announcers, you know, Sean didn't mention the fact that until they came back and replayed it sometime in the third quarter that the Oklahoma kid actually got his hand on that kick.
Yeah.
But that's another, you make that kick, difference in the game perhaps. So it's hard to believe they've now, Oklahoma and Alabama, you know, Alabama is the best program in college football history. Oklahoma says, hey, we're number two, whatever. Two of the elite programs, they met eight times, and Alabama's 0-4 in the regular season against Oklahoma. Pretty amazing when you think about it.
All right, I need you to help me. I get a call Saturday morning. I had a game out of town, so I had to go out of town. And it's Dad. And he said, Barry Switzer's calling me, want me to come to the game. He's got me a suite ticket. And he said, where do I park? How would you have answered that question?
I would have said, get an Uber.
He don't know how to do it.
Oh, well, I don't know where the heck you park.
I told him to talk his way in the Coliseum, and then could he walk in, but he didn't go. So I didn't know what to tell him where to park.
Come on, Coach. You need to go to those things. Hey, Wiz.
I never got a word back from Barry. Barry double talked.
Oh, he told him. Oh, you didn't. Thought he had you a suite ticket. Do you think he would have been able to get in a suite?
He said he did, but I called him. He said, you said the traffic's bad, Wim. Let me call you back. He didn't. I don't remember.
He went and got some whiskey and forgot to call you back.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, by the way, I read Bootlegger's Boy a couple of weeks ago. That old, you know, it's been around for a long time. Barry Switzer's book on his years at Oklahoma. It's a great book, by the way. And it taught me a lot about Oklahoma history and their football. But what was funny was Daryl Royal always accused Barry Switzer of cheating. That was the big hubbub between Texas and Oklahoma. And Barry Switzer swears in his book he never cheated, never did anything wrong. Mm. And Daryl Royal was totally wrong. I always got a kick out of reading that book.
Well, he got a lot of great Caucasian players back then.
Yeah,
I mean, there were a lot of Caucasians that could really play.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was a incredible time. And, you know, that's when Oklahoma was wishbone, Texas was wishbone, Alabama had, you know, obviously was running the wishbone, and it was pretty amazing what was going on in college football then. But what Barry Switzer was doing at Oklahoma, as I read that book, I'd forgotten a lot of that stuff. I mean, they were on a 10-year unprecedented run when they ran into all that NCAA trouble, and they went undefeated 1 year when they were on probation, couldn't go to a bowl game and couldn't be on television. So pretty amazing.
You're no help, Doug. Tell him to take an Uber. Come on.
Well, I don't know. I mean, where do you park in that crazy football situation? Saturday?
I needed some help. You said tell him to take an Uber.
It's organized chaos.
Yeah.
Saturday. I don't know.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but you got to also know your personnel, Doug. All right, Doug, where are we going this week? We need three dubs.
All right, here we go. Duke at North Carolina, guys. This is football, not basketball. Duke favored by 6.5. And this is interesting. Did you see Belichick wouldn't look and he just slapped the Virginia Tech coaches?
That was wrong, Doug. That was bad.
It was terrible.
That poor guy took his hat off. He'd always wanted to meet Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick didn't give that poor guy the time of day.
It was bad. Yeah, that was a bad look. Duke, by the way, here's the deal. Offensively, Duke is 29th in the FBS. Their passing offense, over 300 yards a game, ranked 8th in the FBS. North Carolina, pretty good defensively, ranked 37th in the FBS, but offensively, 131st. I think this is a mismatch. Here's the way I'm breaking it down, guys. Duke averages 29.6 points a game. North Carolina's offense is terrible, averages 22 points a game. Difference is 7.6. I'm going by the numbers, guys. Duke covers against North Carolina. And if I was Manny Diaz, I wouldn't even walk to the middle of the field because Coach Belichick won't even shake your hand.
All right, I got six and a half. Six and a half.
Yep.
Duke. All right, so take Duke, the Dukies, minus six and a half. I get that game's in Chapel Hill. You do know that, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Not a problem.
What's the next game?
Big Ten, Michigan, 13.5 point favorite at Maryland. Michigan still alive for the CFP. Last second field goal beats Northwestern at Wrigley Field, which is kind of neat. Michigan all time since Maryland joined the Big Ten. Michigan is 11-1 against the Terps. They've never lost. They're 5-0 at College Park. If you haven't seen Bryce Underwood, the freshman quarterback for Michigan, he reminds me of Jalen Milroe. Very similar. Big, strong, athletic kid, can run, bust an 80-yard run. Sometimes he shows off an arm. It's like, oh, my gosh. And other times he throws an interception. But he's a kid. But I think Michigan, with a lot to play for, will steamroll a hapless Maryland team and go 6-0 in College Park. And Mike, you know, the head coach of Maryland, you know, used to be at Alabama.
They're keeping him.
They're keeping him. He got the vote of confidence from the AD. Yeah.
So they're keeping him. He's 1-6.
Yeah.
That means they didn't have the money to pay him off. All right, what's the next one, Doug? Last game.
Last game, USC at Oregon. Again, it's a playoff game. Winner stays alive in the CFP. Loser, not going to the CFP. USC still has a chance. Came back last week to beat Iowa. But in that game, guys, Iowa beat them up. When you play Iowa, it's like playing Georgia. You need a week off after a game like that. Very physical. USC lost some players. They're all dinged up. Oregon has one of the best running games in the country. Best running attack in the Big Ten, by the way. Jordan Davison, 12 touchdowns. Noah Whittington, over 600 yards, 5 touchdowns. These are all running backs that are really, really good. I think Oregon at home, 8th in the country, I think they blow out USC by more than 9.5 points.
I see 10.5. You want us to put it 9.5 or 10.5?
Well, we're getting close to Thanksgiving, Barry, so please.
You need it. If you need it. I mean, you can make it a pick 'em if you want.
I mean, I'm not begging or anything, but 9.5 would be preferable.
Yeah, you would love 9.5. All right.
You need to talk with me. You need to talk with me.
You need to get...
It's been a lean couple of weeks, but that's okay.
Real easy for me. Last 2 weeks, very, very easy.
The easiest pick of the weekend was that BYU line was 3. That was a giveaway.
Yeah. Or you know, this week, by the way, South Florida 21 over UAB. I didn't want to go anti-UAB 2 weeks in a row, but if you're a gambling person, South Florida's going to – and even though South Florida lost to Navy, I think they'll blow out UAB. UAB's really having a tough time right now.
Yeah, you're bad. All right, Doug, tell them about Casa de Campo before you go.
Hey, guys, I'm getting close. December 14th, I'll be flying down to the DR. They cut the ribbon on Teeth of the Dog, Jerry Pate's redo of the Pete Dye Golf Course. Go to CasaDeCampo.com. You'll see all the pictures. They have a lot of events going on right now. It's a great vacation spot. And flights, by the way, right after Thanksgiving, before Christmas, even after Christmas, are really cheap. Now's a good time to go down there. But anyway, go to CasaDeCampo.com and you will not be disappointed.
Define cheap, Doug.
Well, like from Miami to the DR, round trip $300.
You gotta get to Miami though, Doug.
Well, okay, it's kind of like, what do you do for a ride to an Alabama football game, Barry? You got to figure it out.
You made it sound. You got it for Miami. Well, you live in Birmingham, so that ain't.
Yeah, but I got a place. I got a place down in South Florida.
Oh, that's right. So you're rich.
No, I'm not rich.
And you got a lot of time off, so you're good. Thank you, Doug.
Yeah. Talk to you next week.
All right. Let's talk about Bryant Bank. We get back. Get the vinegar tip.
Bryant Bank. You walk into Bryant Bank, they will know you. If they don't know you, the second time you go in, they will know you. And they will do everything they possibly can to please you, open up a personal business account. You can bank online around the clock, and you will know that your money is safe. And we got money problems in this world, and
Bryant Bank will be darn sure the money you put in there is safe. I say that again, that's important. And they will also, any transactions that you want to make, Bryant Bank will help you with those. They're good people. They're close to Barry and I. And we go by there some, so be sure and go by Bryant Bank and tell me you heard on Inside the Locker Room.
All right, we'll take the break here. Get back, get the vinegar tip brought to you by Michael McGuire State Farm Insurance. This is the Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. 15th Street is still moving at posted speed. However, you are going to tap on those brakes from time to time. Moving from McFarland to Lurline Wallace. Lurline Wallace looks good from 15th to McFarland. And also traveling on 2059. That's green for going wide open in between McFarland and Joe Malisham. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Tammy Thomas.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker. Phone lines are open 205-342-9904. This vinegar tip brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Give Michael and his staff a call, 205-752-8500, or go to coverageforttown.com. You can get the quote right there over the website. What is the tip for this Monday?
Well, you know those stained white socks that you have. I mean, yeah. Their white socks used to get stained, didn't they? And then the ladies have those dishcloths that are real dingy looking.
Mm.
I mean, white socks are terrible. I mean, you have a hard time pairing them up because they're so bad. And you can get a somewhat with the overnight soak. But if you'll add to that overnight soak, if you'll add one cup of vinegar to a large pot of water and bring it to a rolling boil, put that heat to it, and drop in those socks and those dishcloths, the next morning those booger bears will be clean as they can be.
Well, that'd work on baseball pants. You know, you had to slide and sack it.
Yeah, sure it will. Yeah. Sliding in when Max slides into third base, whatever.
Because Jenny's not real good at getting the red dirt out of those baseball pants.
Well, so, you're going to have to get Jenny on a stick if she's going to start.
She's not listening now this time, so I need to tell her. You put it in the washing machine, the vinegar?
Yeah. No, you just put the wash. You put it in a tub or whatever. You just soak it real good overnight, and then you put that cup of vinegar to a large pot of water. Little socks, and put them in there, and bring it to a boil, and drop it in there. And next morning, it's gonna be great.
Chase, you ever seen anybody power wash a pair of baseball pants? They power wash that stain. Of course, they blow a hole in them. I guess if you get it too close.
Will you remind me about the ball game tonight, please?
We play tonight at home.
What time?
I mean, it'd be around 7:30. There's like two games before our game.
Which left do I take?
Oh my gosh!
Okay, I'll find. A lot of buildings there. There's a lot of buildings there. So
past the middle school, and it's the next school. You see all the cars turning there. All right. We'll take the last break. Phone lines will be up at 205-342-9904. Also, you got Blue Plate in mind, brought to you by Harden Construction, Brian Harden Construction. Heat, deep precision, power, and performance. Brian Harden Construction has been delivering top quality steel fabrication, welding, and 24/7 crane rentals for over 30 years. Family owned, woman led, safety driven. 205-759-1337. I know the family will carry on the great tradition that Brian Harden started there. I've been doing it for over 30 years. Listen, Tide 100.9, 1230 AM, WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. 15th Street is still moving at posted speed. However, you are going to tap on those brakes from time to time, moving from McFarland to Lurline Wallace. Lurline Wallace looks good from 15th to McFarland, and also traveling on 2059. That's green for going wide open in between McFarland and Joe Malisham. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Tammy Thomas.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
And the clock's going to run out, and Bama's going to win it. And for the love, let's get out of here.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide welcome the Oklahoma Sooners to Tuscaloosa. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football. Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at
Job itself. You need Indeed. The all-in-one platform that makes it easy to interview, screen, and hire quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny today, the high 71. Clear and cool tonight, the low 49. Very mild tomorrow and Wednesday. A good supply of sunshine both days. Highs between 76 and 79 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 48 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. All right, Alabama, Chase and Dad take on Eastern Illinois. Do y'all know what their record is?
No, what?
3-8. They've lost 7 in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 in a row. They lost to Gardner-Webb, Southeast Missouri, Charleston Southern, UT Martin, Tennessee Tech, and they had to play Linwood this weekend, and Linwood put it on them 42-12.
Good. Great.
What is Alabama? I mean, what do they get out of this game? What do they do?
A win.
Other than a win. I mean, would you play another quarterback? Would you?
I'd start mine and play another one.
Yeah, you play a bunch of them. I mean, is this? They start working on Auburn this week. They ain't losing to Eastern Illinois. What do they do?
Well, they start getting ready for Auburn.
So they start working on Auburn. They just don't call it Auburn.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right. They just don't call it Auburn. They get ready for Auburn.
So if you want to go to a game, how many people?
Auburn can't beat them, can't.
Yeah, they can beat them. How many people will be in the stadium this weekend, Chase? 1 o'clock tip, SEC Plus.
I would say a good chunk. They love the Crimson Tide here.
Give me a number.
Good
good chunk. Well, a good chunk.
What's a good chunk? There would not be a good chunk.
After what happened against Oklahoma?
They ain't a bunch of people going out there to watch Eastern Illinois.
Did it last? Look about last year.
Will there be more than 30? There'll be more than 30. There'll be more than 30. Will there be 60 in there?
No.
Good night.
You said a good chunk. The place seats 100. So it'll be half empty?
Yes.
When the buses roll down, will they even have to stop? Will there be anybody on the quad? Let me help you with that. There'll be a few people. Anyway, Eastern Illinois, they're 3-8. Good luck. All right, that's it for today's show. Keep it locked in for the Gary Harris Show. I'm sure Gary will have plenty to say about this loss. The coordinators and Coach DeBoer will meet with the media later on this morning, so it'd be interesting to see what they have to say as well. So keep it locked in. You're listening to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.